It's good morning. Good morning. You've got the last 10 minutes of the morning, and for good or for bad, you've got me. So let's first a massive thank you to Nicholas for bringing such significant leaders together again. It's a big opportunity for the ITF to talk to you about two key areas, but I think for all of us, I think we have to reflect on the world as perhaps at its most unpredictable for many decades. So for the ITF, who sometimes plans to be one of those reliable disruptors, I think we're being outdone by Washington and all the challenges that we face at the moment. And I wanted to sort of remind everybody, and there's many familiar faces in the room, that when the pandemic hit, we had the opportunity to realign views. And certainly the ITF, the International Chamber of Shipping, our colleagues in IMEC, we were able to put some of our daily challenges, wages and collective bargaining, aside while we responded to the crisis. And I actually feel right now all the issues we had as an industry are still there. I'll talk a little bit about carbonisation, decarbonisation, and what does that mean for seafarers, but also the challenge of making maritime attractive for the current generation of seafarers who will need to re-educate. And then I think we learned through the process that seafarer well-being is truly an issue. So I'll kick on with, so for us, and I think for you, and I want to put on record that through that pandemic period, I probably met more CEOs of shipping companies, and I think many of them met more of their seafarers online talking about the crisis situation. So that gives us a bit of an opportunity to explore, is there a better way to promote seafaring and to engage with crew? So I've been around so long, I can remember when ships, other than American ships and Brazilian ships, were fully crewed by nationals. And part of that shift in the 80s through the 90s was partly cost-cutting, let's be frank, and the world became very competitive with shipping. So we had the growth of third-party ship managers and those kind of challenges. But today, when we look at what we would consider maritime professionals, the job is still rewarding financially, but it comes with a number of challenges. And we've got the geopolitics as one level. I'm working with a number of the ship owners' representatives about a number of crew that have been arrested in Turkey. So the criminalization is still an issue. And there are challenges about how do we address that. So for us, I think it's incredibly important that the partnerships that we build in IMEC, we're talking with ICS, and there's a few old colleagues here that have done collective bargaining with me about who's going to be your next seafarers? I had the privilege to be in Sri Lanka last week, opening a seafarers centre. And we have our really solid labour supply countries. And let's be clear, Philippines is still number one. Our friends in India are determined to grow their market share. We have challenges in Ukraine and we have challenges in Russia, which I think all of us would hope for peace in all of the conflicts around the world at the moment. But they're not clearly coming in any quick time, and there will be a period of realignment. So the study about shortage of seafarers is predicted. So there's a challenge for all of us. Is it a money question, or is it an issue about welfare? Before I kick into that in a very heavy way, I just want to highlight, I've just come from a G20 conversation about the future of the oceans. In the G20, the oceans global delivery goal is, sustainability goal is one element, includes fisheries and other areas where we're active and food, agriculture, but also primarily this week, it's been about maritime transport. So the ITF in partnership, it's lovely to see Keetac here. He was part of the original partnership. ITF, ICS, IMO and ILO established a partnership supported by the UN Global Compact in 2021 with a view to building a sustainable just transition for seafarers. So industry standard, so not just ITF's favourite business consultant, identifies that we need to transfer and upskill over 800,000 seafarers from the current crop of seafarers. We produced a 10-point action plan that talks about what we need to do. So that's not just the ITF, it's the employers, third-party ship managers, and the International Chamber and their national owners. The idea is to have a human-centred approach to seafarers training. So I know many of you are very determined to make sure your seafarers are the best qualified, but there's also going to be some challenges. We need to recognise that the IMO, we have a big policy piece moving next week. Just to put on record, the ITF does support a market-based measure. Quite which one at the moment is a bit of a challenge to call. I'm going to China next week, so I'm determined not to upset any of my next visits. But the reality is, for the ITF, we want to be part of that process. If there's a market-based measure and a voluntary contribution, then we want to be part of the conversation about upskilling seafarers to be compliant with the new IMO regulations. SDCW at the moment is being challenged, because I think we would all recognise the original methods of education, and I would extend this to society as well, may not serve us in a new digital age, in an age with alternative fuels, with new challenges. So those issues need to be responded to. So we'd like to continue working with our partners, sit around a table, communicate to seafarers that alternative fuels does not mean you will lose your job, it means you will have an opportunity to be reskilled and upskilled. Also talk to the future seafarers about why this is a good career, despite all the challenges I laid down. If we look at Philippines and India, we have collectively, unions and employers, taken a lot of people and given them life opportunities because of their maritime skills and they provide for their family and their extended family. We see many seafarers come to sea and then the next generation also come to sea. So we think it's more and more important that we talk about a just transition. We support KeyTAC's work and now Arsenio's work to dynamically push. And we know right now it's difficult to get governments to agree on things, but we need a level playing field when it comes to the alternative fuels. Yes, of course, there are reservations about ammonia and the different styles. I had the opportunity to visit an ammonia fuel tug in Tokyo Bay 3 weeks ago. And actually, some of the reservations I had about a very potentially dangerous chemical were very well handled. I had some extensive time with the Japanese crew that operate the ship. That's an MYK project, which is treating as a project, and everything's being analysed and shared with insurers and everybody to see whether we can make that work. So for the ITF, we recognise there will be alternative fuels. We probably have some more political challenges now, but for this industry, we encourage you to continue to go forward. I also sit, oh, I've got a minute and a half and I've got to do welfare. Sorry, Nicholas. We also sit on the UN Global Compact, and despite the noise from Washington, many of the global corporations we deal with, not just transport, all corporations, are reaffirming their commitment to meeting the climate challenge. Not just because it's the right thing to do, but also many of them believe you can manage your costs, your energy costs, in a more dramatic way if we can find a level playing field. And that's a challenge. Moving very swiftly into wellbeing for seafaring, I'll try and condense it a little bit, but we have to recognise that many of the tours of duty, certainly for the ratings, are considerably long. We need to recognise that modern technology, mobile phone, has challenged the life of a seafarer in ways when I started 30 years ago didn't exist. What's happening at home can be right in your cabin at any particular time. So there's a question for all of us about how do you manage the normal stresses of a domestic life when you're isolated on a ship for 10 months. So we thought at the outset, just be great to have access to the family via the internet and encouraged all of you to put more value on your internet packages. I think we were okay about Starlink then. I'm not so sure we're okay right now, but we were positively encouraging you to have access to the internet for your seafarers. But the reality is that brings domestic problems straight into your workplace with very little opportunity to find resolution. So well-being needs to be tackled from that level, stress management. Also, we know, and there's many studies, and I know many, I'm looking at Mark, there's many people that have been working on this area, so it's not unique. But I think when we look at making seafaring more attractive, we need to tackle some of these sensitive issues. Actually, it's not too bad in this room for gender balance, but we have a serious issue with gender balance in shipping. I'll just ask the women in the room to put their hands in the air. So the ITF is strongly, please put your hands in the air. So that's all the men in the room to see we need to have more women in the industry. It's great to see so many leaders here, but one of our other areas is all men on a ship tend not to share their challenges, and we need to find ways to be able to take their problems. I know that helplines, our Philippines Union has a medical helpline for people that are stressed, and we've done other initiatives. But also the issue, we need to have more women in shipping. We need to have more women in the leadership of shipping. We need to have more women in the leadership of trade unions. So we're all working on that, because it's kind of crazy when we talk about shortage that we don't create enough opportunities. Sri Lanka last week, the last batch of officer cadets were women. Our Philippines school is also producing a lot of women. Just quickly, we've signed agreements as the ITF with the Philippines, Indonesia and India on seafarers' mental health education, and now we're encouraging mandatory training. I think that shouldn't just be a union conversation. It should be a union and employer conversation, whether you're the ship owner or the third-party manager. The key areas we're looking at: enhancing amenities on board, recreation, fitness, quality of food, nothing terribly surprising there. Mental health support systems, confidential counselling. So I talked to a load of maritime executives about work-life balance. Maybe that's kind of a deafening response in here. The reality is you work 365 a year because it's the nature of shipping. We do the same. It's very difficult to work-life balance in maritime, but we aspire for better opportunities. I think the other issue, of course, is communications. I see many of your publications when you talk to your crew. A lot of it's going digital. I think certainly in the areas I work in, lots of other spaces, if we want to appeal to a younger generation, and certainly if we want to attract the best, and let's admit there's a lot of competition out there in the global south as well, you need to be able to communicate what is the company's objectives, where the seafarers fit. I'm only 3 minutes over, sorry. This one's no surprise. Zero tolerance to harassment and bullying, and proper procedures, and we know that can be a challenge, but there should be a methodology. We have it in some of our collective agreements. We have some very progressive positions. I think perhaps one of the most shocking things, and I can't work out why, that last year saw an increase of so we saw the increase of 87% of abandoned ships in the world. We have a partnership with the ILO where we report together with the ICS any ship that's been left for a period of time. So it's not a non-payment of wages, it's actually an abandonment. So we need to have a think about what's happening, because that's a very negative image. This year there's a conversation at the ILO about the Maritime Labour Convention. We, of course, aspire for that safety net to be as positive as possible. We work with the ICS in that space. But I think when I look at the challenges we had before the world sort of got more crazy, they're still there. The climate challenge, the shortage of people, the challenge to make our industry attractive. I know everybody in this room is proud of the shipping industry and proud of the stories we've all got about life-changing opportunities, not only you, but the seafarers enjoyed. So we need to promote those. Technology changing, what does it mean for our crew? How do we communicate it? Transparency is a key word in every environment now. Shipping is not outside that. Even though sometimes we're the forgotten industry, it's still critical that we promote. So I think in closing, I think it's more important than ever before that we continue to respect each other as social partners, that we continue to build partnerships in what are perhaps the most uncertain times for tens of years, reaffirm our collective commitment to positive action to enhance the quality of seafarers so that we can continue to support this amazing industry together. And ultimately, our seafarers are your seafarers, and we have to recognise shipping doesn't move without them. So let's do more together. Thank you.